As we continue worship through the reading of the Word, I invite you to turn to Genesis chapter 25. We'll read verses 1 through 18 this morning. Abraham took another wife, whose name was Keturah. She bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Sharah. Jokshan fathered Sheba and Dedan. The sons of Dedan were Asherim, Ledus, and Asherim. The sons of Midian were Epher, Hanok, Abida, Elda. All these were the children of Keturah. Abraham gave all he had to Isaac, but to the sons of his concubines, Abraham gave gifts. And while he was still living, he sent them away from his son Isaac, eastward to the east country. These are the days of the years of Abraham's life, 175 years. Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Isaac and Ishmael, his sons, buried him in the cave of the Machpelah in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, east of Mamre, the field that Abraham purchased from the Hittites. There Abraham was buried with Sarah, his wife. After the death of Abraham, God blessed Isaac, his son Isaac. And Isaac settled at Beer La'aro. These are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar, the Egyptian, Sarah's servant, bore to Abraham. These are the names of the sons of Ishmael, named in the order of their birth: Nebaioth, the firstborn of Ishmael, and Kedar, Adbeel, Mishma, Duma, Massa, Heda, Tima, Jeter, Napish, and Kedemah. These are the sons of Ishmael, and these are their names by their villages and by their encampments. 12 princesses according to their tribes. These are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. He breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people. They settled from Havilah to Shur, which is opposite Egypt in the direction of Assyria. He settled over against all his kinsmen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come before you. And God, as we read these genealogies, we're reminded that you have always had your people of faith. From Adam till now, God, you have been gracious to your people. And we stand in that grace this morning. We're reminded, Lord, that there was a fork. There were people who did not know you, but people that always have. And we bless your name this morning, that we are called your children by your grace. Thank you for the time of celebration through communion, where we remember that we are at your table, totally forgiven, as adopted sons and daughters, to be light and salt to the nations. Equip us to do this, God. We pray these things in your son's name, Jesus. Amen. We're going to dismiss the three-year-old through fourth grade out the doors to my left. If you're visiting with us this morning, we ask you to check out where they are going so you can see where to grab them after the service. Your heart's not angry. Allow them to clear out of the aisles, and for everyone else, we make this a time of fellowship. Shake hands with somebody around you.
Speak. Let me get you to have a seat. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Go ahead and have a seat, and if you would, open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 25. This morning's message is going to cover the death of Abraham. And so Abraham, really since the time of Noah, or Tower of Babel or whatever, has played a major role. There's a lot of the Bible, especially the book of Genesis, devoted to Abraham. He's a key player. And yet today, Abraham is going to die. And he's going to pass on. Hence the title of the message is Death and the Plan of God. And what the general theme of the message is that man dies, but God's plan goes on.
Amen.
And we're going to see how that is and what should be our responsibility in relationship to that. Because apart from the Lord coming back, every one of us in here is going to taste death, correct? Every one of us will. And so the question for you is the same question for everyone. What are you doing to prepare for that? Not necessarily preparing as far as yourself, but preparing for what about those generations that come behind you? Because coming behind Abraham was Isaac. And Isaac was prepared to step up and take that role as the patriarch. And so the question is, who do you have coming behind you? Who are you passing the baton to, so to speak?
That's good.
All right. And so we're going to look at that today. But join me as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before your throne thanking you, Lord, for this day.
Yes.
And Lord, I pray for all the people that are here. Pray, Lord, that through a passage that deals with one of your servants' death, that, Lord, they would have a word for them. That, Lord, they would see how they fit in and how it's applicable to what they do and how they live and where they exist in life. And, Lord, help them glean from it something personal to take home. But help us to fully understand this too, Lord. So I ask you to direct me as I teach and keep me from error. Help me to explain your word clearly and accurately. And Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to learn more about you. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
The first section actually covers down through verse 7. And the first section, it breaks into two halves. The first section is the blessings of God pass on and death doesn't stop them. And so we're going to see that in this passage. It says, Abraham again took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bore him Zimram, Jokshan, Medim, Midian, Ishbak, and Shuah. Josham begot Sheba and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Ashurim, Letushim, and Luman. Now, what is the importance of that? I mean, you know, the Bible tells us that the Word of God is inspired and that it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. okay? And that there's no scripture in the Bible that's just in there for filler. The Bible wasn't written by a preacher, it was written by God. And so things are in there for a purpose and for a reason. You understand? God put it in here, therefore it's important. So why would he put all these names in here? Well, I'll tell you why. He is showing us how he is fulfilling his promise to Abraham. He told Abraham when he made a covenant with him, he said, Abraham, you're going to live to a ripe old age. And he said, there are going to be many nations come from you. And so when you look at these names, if you track these people, for example, Sheba and Dedan, Midian, that's where the Midianites came from. And out of Abraham, when from our perspective, when you look back, three major world religions came from Abraham. Judaism, Islam, and Christianity all came out of Abraham. Not to mention all the descendants, the Ishmaelites, all the Arab nations that came out of that. And so Abraham truly was the father of many nations. And this is a record of it, and that's what it is showing us. It's not just to list a bunch of names. It's to show us that God keeps his word with his people. And God said, you're going to live to be a ripe old age, and in addition to that, you're going to be the father of many nations. And so you see that in a physical sense, but then you think about it in a spiritual sense. Because as we sit here this morning, everyone here is a believer, is also a child of Abraham.
That's right.
And so we have the nation of believers on the spiritual side. So truly God's word was fulfilled in the life of Abraham, and he was the father of a great nation. But there's something else. As you read through this list, and then you get down here, look at this. It says, verse 5, and Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. But Abraham gave gifts to the sons of the concubines which Abraham had. And while he was still living, he sent them eastward away from Isaac his son to the country of the east. You see something very important there. He has a lot of sons. I mean, he's already had Ishmael, then he has Isaac, then he has all these sons from Keturah. He has a lot of sons. He sends every one of them away to the east except for Isaac. Why? Isaac is the son of promise. Okay? I told you in the book of Genesis, you have the beginnings of many of the major teachings of Scripture. And one of the things this is teaching is, it's teaching election is what it's teaching. That you look at it from a human perspective and go, well, it's not fair that Abraham sent those other sons away. It's not fair that he sent Ishmael away. How come he just keeps Isaac there? And one of the things the Bible's teaching, folks, is that God, from our perspective, is not fair. What we call fair doesn't fall into the plans of God. You understand? Because God is free, he can choose who he wants to. And out of all those sons, who did he pick? Isaac. He said, the promise will be through Isaac. Did Abraham love those other sons? Scripture said he did. Scripture said he loved Ishmael greatly, deeply. But Ishmael wasn't chosen. The other sons were chosen. And one of the things you got to understand is, a lot of times people come into the Bible, and when they try to figure out God, when they try to understand God, they come to God with a human definition of how God should be. And a human definition is ideas and concepts of fairness. You know, from the time we're a little kid, when you divvy candy out, you give two pieces to this kid, then it's only fair if you give two to this one and this one and this one. We get these concepts of fairness in our mind. and understandings of fairness. But folks, when it comes to God, God's not bound by what humans understand as being right and good. God is bound by his character and by his person. And therefore, God is free to do as he chooses when he chooses. Secondly, is this, you don't want fair with God. You don't want what's fair. Because if we get what's fair, then we all go to hell. What you want with God is you want grace and you want mercy is what you want. And that's how God deals with it. He doesn't deal with us fair. It's not fair for me and for you that you were born in America. That's not fair. Because there are children that are just as worthy as you when you were born that were born into Hindu families in total poverty in a lower class in India. Mm-hmm. Is that fair?
No.
Is that fair that some children were born into radical Muslim families in the Middle East and their parents strapped bombs on them and had them go blow up stuff? Is that fair? Is that fair that one child lives in a rich family and another child lives in a poor family? Is that fair?
No.
From a human perspective, no. But in the plan of God, fair doesn't come into the equation.
That's right.
Because God is free to do as he chooses. And God does that. And so one of the things he's teaching us in this passage is, Abraham's got a lot of sons, but that one son, Isaac, he is the special son. He is the son of promise. Then we see God's promise to Abraham fulfilled. It says, verse 7, it says, this is the sum of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man, full of years, and was gathered to his people. So we see God fulfilled his promise to him. Then we come to the second half, which begins in that 8th verse, and that's this. Believers die, but the program of God goes on. Okay? Program of God continues forward. As you look there, it says, Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man, and full of years. Three emphases. Good old age, an old man, full of years. Driving home the point three times, God kept his word. God kept his word to Abraham. And it says he was gathered to his people. There's something people ask a lot of times. They say, when we die, will we know our relatives in heaven? That's a very common question that people die. The short answer is, you're not going to be dumber when you get to heaven, okay? That's the short answer. The long answer is, Abraham was gathered to his people. You see that? It says right there. What's that alluding to? Abraham's not dead. Abraham died physically, but Abraham's going to live on.
That's right.
When the Pharisees were quizzing Jesus in the New Testament, or the Sadducees were, Jesus made this comment. He said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not I was when they were alive, but I'm their God right now.
Amen.
And it's saying that they're still alive, is what it's saying. So when a person passes on, because you're created in the image and likeness of God, you don't cease to exist. You go into the eternal realm with those that you knew beforehand, and you're gathered together again. So theologically, that's true. You're going to know all the believers when you get to heaven. You can see it also in Peter, James, and John when they went up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus. Moses and Elijah appeared. Well, Peter, James, and John had never met Moses and Elijah. And yet they were able to identify them because Jesus told them, let me show you what it's going to be like in my kingdom. And he goes up there and he's transfigured in front of them, and he gave them a foretaste of what heaven was like. And they knew exactly who Moses and Elijah were. So yes, when you as a believer get to heaven, you're going to know the people that are there. Abraham was gathered unto his people. He breathed his last. And then it says, and his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, buried him in the cave of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar, the Hittite, the field which Abraham purchased from the sons of Heth. Back in the 23rd chapter, when Sarah died, if you remember, Abraham said, I'm buying that cave. When I die, I'm not going back to Ur of the Chaldees. When I die, I'm staying in the land because God has given me this land, and this land is God's promise to me. Abraham is staying in the land, and his descendants are going to be buried in that same cave that come after him. So Abraham is planting his stake in the promised land, if you will. Now, verse 11, and it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt at Beer Lahairoth. If you see that right there, it's telling you this. God's blessing went from Abraham straight on to Isaac. The blessings of God continued. God promised Abraham what? I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. And in you, all the nations of the world will be blessed. So you see that blessing go on. You know what that tells you, folks? That as great as Abraham was, and Abraham is a great figure in Scripture, he is referred to as the father of faith. And you see references to him both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And when you talk about great Bible characters, you almost always have to speak of Abraham. And God brought a lot of work about through Abraham. But Abraham dies. You know what that tells me, folks? What happened back in Genesis chapter 3, it affects everybody. Yep. It doesn't matter how old you live to be. Abraham lived being an old man at a ripe old age, full of years. And Abraham breathed his last and he died. Man is a mortal being. Man is going to die because of the effects of sin. But because of our relationship with God through the person of Christ, we will live on. Amen. But also this, that God is not dependent upon Abraham to bring about his. As important as Abraham was, God says, Abraham, your time's up. We're moving on to the next person. You know what it shows you? That even with us passing on, God's plan will continue on.
Amen.
God's plan will continue on. And it has continued on all the way down to today. Because as that thing is passed down, that line of faith, those of you that are believers here today, you're that generation that it rests with. It's in our hands right now. But it came all the way from Abraham. You could track it all the way down. If you could fill in all the gaps with the names and stuff, you'd find out. I go all the way back to Abraham as a person of faith. Goes all the way back to him through different lines and different channels. But God passed that blessing on to Isaac. And then it goes on, it gives you the genealogy in verse 12 of Ishmael. Why? Head of the Arab nations. All those nations came out of him. What's the significance of that? God blessed Ishmael. God blessed Isaac. God blessed Abraham. Why? Because God promised he would do so. And God keeps his word. God's word goes forward. God's blessings go forward. And death doesn't stop the plan of God. And it just continues on. And you're going to see the story now is going to pick up with Isaac. When you look down there at verse 19, it says, this is the genealogy of Isaac. Remember I told you when we first started the book of Genesis, it's divided up by toledots. by generations, and we've just seen the previous generation. Now we're going to pick up with the generation of Isaac. And you ask the question, what becomes of Isaac? And that's what that part of the story tells us. We're going to learn what happens to Isaac. And we're going to follow this all the way down through the 12 tribes of Israel as the stage is set for him to go into Egypt. What can we gather out of this passage? I mean, you're talking the year 2019. Abraham dies. God blesses Isaac. What is the significance for you and me? How can that be important to us? What can I take away from this? God's plans are his plans, but we carry them out.
Amen.
You understand that? When you stop and you think about it, God has a plan that he set in place, but God uses people to carry that out.
That's right.
And that's what he did with Abraham. He used Abraham to carry out his plan. He's going to use Isaac to carry out his plan. And that's how God still operates today. God carries out his plan, but he uses people. Point two is this. God is not dependent upon us, but he uses us.
Amen.
Now, folks, when you stop and think about it, you're going to get the father of faith that's going to be the father of both Judaism and Christianity. And he picks Abraham. Trust me, Abraham is not a shining star on the horizon. Right? We've seen that. We saw that with Abraham. We saw the failures of Abraham. We saw the shortcomings. Why is that important to note? It's important to note for this reason. There's not a one of us sitting in here today that's worthy to serve God.
Right.
I'm not worthy to preach the Word of God. Joey's not worthy to lead us in singing worship with God. Paul David Heiser's not worthy to lead us in the Lord's Prayer. Monty's not worthy to come up and read the Word of God. And you and I really are not worthy to even call upon the name of God. You know why? Because we're all sinners. We're all depraved. And we all fall short according to Scripture. But see, God takes imperfect people and he makes them worthy.
Amen.
Because he gives us the righteousness of Christ is what he does.
That's right.
And it enables us to come before him. We don't stand on our own merit. No person of faith stands because they are good. They stand because their Savior is good.
That's right.
There's nothing good in man. The only good that I have is what's been imputed to me.
That's right.
And I have relative righteousness in the sense that I pass muster with people. You know, they say he's a good person or he's a nice person. But that's in a relative sense. That means in comparison to other people. And folks, if you let me pick the people, I could be the best person in the room if I can get the right ones around me. I say, yeah, look at me. Look how I am. It's like, oh boy, he had a twin brother, and they were sorry scoundrels, man, in the town. And everyone in town hated them, man. They were sorry. And one of the brothers died, and so the other one went to the preacher and said, I need you to preach my brother's funeral. And he goes, man, I can't do that. He said, I've got standards. And he said, I'm not going to stoop to that level to preach a sermon for him. You know the reputation of your brother, and you know your reputation. And I'm a man of God, and I'm not going to do something like that. He says, I'll give you $100. He said, when's the funeral? And so he said, I'll do it. And the guy goes, I tell you what. He said, I'll give you $100, and if during that funeral service you say that my brother was a good man, he said, I'll give you another $100. Pastor said, you got a deal. You got a deal. I got standards, but you got a deal, brother. So they get into the funeral, and he's talking in the funeral, and he said, well, you know Joe Johnson here, laying in his coffin, was a scoundrel. He was a crook. He was an adulterer. He was likely one of the sorriest human beings you'd ever want to meet in your life. And a brother's sitting there looking at him thinking, man, I guess he doesn't want that $100. And he looks out in the crowd and he goes, but compared to his brother right there, he was a saint. He was a good man. Give him $100, man. You see what I'm talking about? You pick the right person and you can look pretty good. But you got to pick. You understand? But see, that's not the standard. The standard's God's holiness. And when we look at God's standard of holiness, you know what God says? There is none good, no, not one. There is none who does righteousness. There's none. There's none that pass muster with God. And so God uses Abraham, but hear this, he's not dependent on Abraham. Look over at 2 Corinthians, if you would. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. I want to show you a passage of Scripture over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and if you would look down, let's look at verse 5. This is Paul speaking. He says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not us.
Amen.
See, you and I are nothing more than earthen vessels, and we have a treasure. And the treasure that's in us is the presence of God. That's what's good. And God uses earthen vessels to carry out a glorious plan.
Mm-hmm.
And folks, that's what Abraham was. Abraham was a vessel that God used for his purposes. And was Abraham imperfect? You bet he was. Did Abraham fail? You bet he did. But Abraham was the man that God chose because God's purposes go on in spite of the individual. Why do I say all that? I say it for this reason. There's a lot of people that think, well, I can't serve God because I've done this in my past, or I've done that in my past, or I have this thing or that thing. Folks, everyone has that.
That's right.
Everyone has that. What God is looking for, he's looking for people that are willing. He's looking for people that will be committed to it. Yeah, you're going to fall and you're going to stumble and you're going to make a mess of things, but can you get on your knees and confess it to God, make it right with your fellow man, pick up the pieces and move on with life? That's what life is about.
That's right.
That's what the Bible's about, folks. The Bible's a book about second chances. The Bible's about those that wreck their life, but yet they have a Savior that rescues their life and they go forward.
Amen.
The Bible is about those whose lives have been rescued, who know that Savior, and they wreck their life again. But through the grace of God, God lifts them up and they move on forward.
Amen.
That's what the Bible's about. That's what Christianity's about. It's not about being purpose. It's not about being excellent in your walk and flawless in character. It's about you having a Savior, and that Savior changes your life. And when you do mess up, you do whatever it takes to make it right. But you just keep going. You press on, Paul said, for the upward call of God. You press on for that prize. You don't quit. You don't check yourself out of the race. You stay in the fight and you push, because we all are weak in some area and we can all fall. But we have a Savior and a God that can get you to the finish line in spite of who you are.
Amen.
You've just got to submit to Him, and God will make you worthy.
Amen.
Because He gives you the presence of Christ and the power of the Spirit to do what needs to be done. The third point I think we should get from this is this. Every one of us has a responsibility to be passing the faith on to the next generation.
That's right.
Parents to their children, grandparents to their grandchildren, aunts and uncles to their nieces and nephews. members of the community, to those in the community, you should have a legacy to pass down to those that come behind you. Abraham passed it on to Isaac. Isaac is going to pass it on to his son and on down the line and on down the line. And we're here today because somebody passed it down.
That's right. Amen.
And every one of us in here, before you leave, see, when you think about when people die, you know what they get caught up on? Well, who am I going to give my guns to? Who am I going to give my land to? Who is going to get my jewelry? Who's going to get my china? Who's going to get this chair? Who's going to get this picture? And it's all about the inheritance. But one day, all that stuff is going to get broke. It's going to get stolen. It's going to get lost. You're going to have the crooked relative that steals it from you. All this kind of nonsense that goes on with that kind of stuff. But let me tell you what you pass down spiritually, that can't be stolen, folks. What you pass down about eternity, that will go on. That will go further. And God told the children of Israel, he said, you teach your children. You put it into their lives. You mark them with this. And he told the children of Israel, he said, when you get in the land, don't think you did this on your own. Don't you forget the Lord God who brought you out of Egypt. See, you pass this down. Folks, you get a lapse in generation, go read the book of Judges and see what happens. Go look at that. Paul believed that. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he's talking to his young disciple, Timothy, and look what he tells him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, he says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who are able to teach others also. What's he telling him? Pass on your legacy. Pass it down. Timothy, get some people that you can start putting this into. Get some people you can start teaching this to. Folks, that's not just a passage for preachers or pastors. That's a passage for every one of us.
Amen.
You should be finding faithful people to pass things down to so that the legacy of God and the witness of God will continue on.
That's right.
That's more precious than any earthly inheritance that you can ever get.
Yes, amen.
That you have pressed your faith, you have put your spiritual fingerprints upon the lives of another person.
Amen.
And then that person will touch another person.
Yes.
And that person touches another person.
Yes.
That's what really matters in the long run. Who are you passing the faith down to?
That's right.
Who are you building into? Whose life are you touching?
That's right.
For Abraham, it was Isaac and many of those other people in his home. Those are stories that are not in the Bible that we hadn't heard, but that'll be there one day. But what we need to focus on today is, who are you passing true riches down to?
Yes.
It says Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. And then it says, and the blessings of God came to Isaac. Look there in that 25th chapter. I didn't touch that verse, I don't think. But look at this. It says, and it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac. And Isaac dwelt at Beer Lahai-Roi. See that? The blessings go forward. So the challenge today is get a eternal focus on your life. Because just like death came to Abraham, death's coming to every one of us in here. Death is coming to us. And who are you passing it on to? And some of you say, well, I'm young. You know, I've got many years down. Start now. Start at a young. Make that a part of your life.
Yes.
To pass the things of God on to that next generation. To build into people. Because you can give them something that will never be stolen. It'll never tarnish. Thieves can't get it. It's something of true riches.
Yes.
And that is of eternal worth and value. That's what really matters.
Amen.
Great as Abraham was, Abraham breathed his last. And he died. At 175 years, he passed on. And so God takes Abraham off the table. Now Isaac's on the table. Isaac's going to be off. Then the next, and the next, and the next. Same thing's true with us. Who are you passing your faith down to? Who are you impacting with true riches? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your many blessings and for your grace in our lives. And Father, I pray that we would take serious your word, that we would understand that that which is eternal is so much more important than that which is temporal. And God, help us to be people of faith that pass these things down to the next generation. Lord, that we would build into the lives of others, that we would recognize, Lord, your plan is not dependent upon us, but yet you've chosen to use us. Help us to be found faithful. For we ask and we pray all this, Lord, in Christ Jesus' name, amen.